The Burt Show.
When you guys are watching TV shows, is your default now to also turn the subtitles on?
No.
Yeah. No for Kristen.
Yes. Every single time. I cannot understand a word of what's being said. Even if the volume is at max, it just sounds like wah, 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 wah.
Why is that?
I don't know. I do know, actually. There's an issue with sound engineering, and it's a big deal in Hollywood. But the way they engineer sound, it just isn't clear. And then if it's an action movie and there are explosions, all of a sudden, those will shake the walls of the house. But right. When dialogue comes on, hi, my name is Mark.
Yeah, it's kind of maddening.
Yes.
You?
It depends on the show, but most of the time, I do have them on.
No, I'm never looking at the TV. I'm usually looking at my phone, half listening to the TV. So subtitles are useless.
I think I started watching them years ago. I turned them on years ago because I loved Peaky Blinders, which was set in Europe. And the accents were so thick, I couldn't really make what they were saying. But it was really interesting, so I turned it on. I've never turned them off.
Really? No, I don't keep them on. There has been once or twice where somebody said something and I couldn't make it out, so I rewound it. Turned on the subtitles to figure out what they said. And then after I figured out what they said, turned them back off and continued watching the show.
I've also noticed that there are times when someone will say something from like behind the scenes almost, and you would never hear it if you don't have the subtitles on.
It's the majority of people now. I was just reading the survey. The majority of people, 66%, watch TV now with subtitles on.
I know my parents do, but I just thought that was because they were old.
All right, so she's too pretty. She's too pretty and looks her too much of an emphasis on these dates. So, look, she's not having any luck, so she's decided to use the theory like, look, if you're doing the same things over and over again and they're not working, you might as well change it. And in this case, she wants to change her looks. So if you got something interesting going on in your life you want to share with us, hit us up at theburtshow.com. And Mo's got this email.
I could really use some advice right now. I'm 22, and my luck with relationships hasn't been all that great. My friend dropped this idea that I'm starting to buy into. She thinks guys are only interested in my looks and not the real me. At first, I brushed it off, but now I'm thinking maybe she's onto something. So my friend is setting me up with this guy from her work, but she's only shown him this one not so flattering picture of me, and he's still up for meeting. My friends are suggesting I should go super low key, minimal or no makeup, extremely casual clothing, just me, no frills. Here's where I'm torn. I get the whole be authentic vibe they're giving off. But on a first date, isn't it normal to want to look your best? I mean, when you look good, you feel good, right? I'm all about being real, but going on a date while actually trying not to look good seems like it could also backfire. I'm also wondering if it will affect my confidence and therefore my personality.
That's a good point.
Fair point.
That said, it does seem like a good way to know if a guy really is paying attention to me and not just what I look like. What do you all think? Is this a dumb experiment?
I think your friend hates you and she's setting you up. That's what I think is happening here. I understand the concept behind it. It sounds a little extreme for me for a first date.
I'm inclined to agree, mainly because if you're going on a first date's a very vulnerable thing. And in my experience, when I don't feel my best, those are always the dates that go the absolute worst. And so if you change how you would normally do something and you show up to this date and you end up getting, again, results that you don't like, then you're going to have to deal with a whole other slew of emotions like, well, did he think I wasn't pretty? Maybe my friend just thought I was prettier than I really was and I should have done this. Do exactly what feels right to you. And if that means putting on minimal makeup, put on minimal makeup. But I think you shouldn't switch things up just because your friends think it's the right thing to do.
Concur. Yeah. And I know dating is hard and it's difficult. I don't think it should be this difficult. I actually think you're making it more difficult. You should be able to be yourself on a date, what's going to make you feel most comfortable and give you the most confidence. I don't think you should have to pretty yourself down. I don't think you should have to dumb yourself down. I don't think you should have to do any of that, because is that really the person you want to be with if that's the person they like, because you weren't being authentically yourself in the very beginning?
Is anybody really authentic on a very first date? I mean, aren't you just showing them your best self?
No, I'm letting it all hang out.
Yeah. I'm pretty authentic on the first date, too. Yeah, for sure. And I understand the concept of this, but it's almost like you think that you're being more of yourself, but you're really not. You're actually dumbing yourself down, which I do feel will affect your personality, because how you see yourself is a part of your personality. So, nah, I don't think you should do this at all.
I almost feel like there would be more credibility in a similar test if you gave your friend a toned down picture of you that she would show him before the date.
Mm.
So he had to make a decision before looking at this picture where you didn't have as much makeup on or it was a casual picture. And then if he's into it and you show up, hottie, hottie, then he's pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, and that's what they've done. Like, she's only shown him a not so flattering picture of her. So,
but she's saying go on the date and look like that also.
Yeah, if you're not comfortable, don't do it.
I would say absolutely show up, look how you feel your best, put on your favorite outfit and whatever makeup that means for you, because if this guy's a bad guy, you're going to find out whether you look ugly or whether you don't look ugly.
You're going to know it. And I do think it'll affect your confidence. You won't feel yourself.
No, 100%.
For sure. On the date.
The Burt Show.
All right, this is really, really interesting. We want to get Burt Show listener Dion, whose daughter wants to be a professional wrestler.
Oh, wow. What an ambitious goal.
I love this, yeah. Right? Hey, Dee.
Hey.
Good morning. Okay, so you got concerns about her pursuing this, but it has not a lot to do with like the physical part of getting hurt in the ring. It has everything to do with diet.
Yeah, exactly. So she's 9, so keep that in mind. I mean, okay. Kids have fantastical ideas all the time, you know, whatever. But we've recently started watching, and it's been, like, this really fun thing for everybody. But she's got, like, extremely into it. Like, she is over the top. This is, like, her life's mission now. She's going to be, like, a superstar, which I'm like, you go, girl. Like, do it.
Yeah.
And she's super driven. She's amazing. She set her mind to something. She's going to do it. That part is cool. But the problem is she has, like, access at the library and stuff to a computer, and because we don't, like, let her have, you know, her own computer or tablet, stuff like that. But she went and started researching, like, how to do this. What do I do? And she came to me with this whole list of foods, and she was like, this is what wrestlers eat, and this is what wrestlers cannot eat. Mm. So she has this whole list of, like, things that she wants to eat and this whole list of things that she is not allowing herself to eat, which surface level is like, okay, you know, it's healthy stuff. It's not like crazy, weird, like crash diet or something. You know, it's like very healthy, protein rich, like stuff you would eat if you were going to train, you know. And I told her, you know, that's great. You can't eat like, you know, a 200-pound man. So you're going to have to like dial it back a little bit. But you also, you know, I'm just concerned that what starts on like a healthy like goal is going to maybe go somewhere else. I don't want it to become a, like an obsession. You know, I've struggled with eating disorders in the past, and I know how slippery the slope is.
You are a fantastic mom.
You are.
Let me say that. That your daughter wants to do something a little bit out of the ordinary, and you're totally open to it, and your concerns, I think, are totally and completely valid for the right reasons.
Because if your child comes to you, I love this for her, I do, and that the fact that she's already doing all this research to, she's, not only has she proclaimed a goal, but she's actively working towards it. But when your 9-year-old, almost 10-year-old daughter comes to you with a list of foods that she's restricting, I can see how, as a mom, you're like, this is definitely a slippery slope. How do we make sure this doesn't, we don't end on the wrong side of this?
You want to get her on the proper steroids now, like most wrestlers, not something off the street.
They don't do that. What are you talking about?
All right. So when we read your email, we realized like this is way above our pay grade. So we reached out to Margaret Schwanke, who is a certified eating psychology counselor and certified holistic health coach and the founder of Authentic Nourishment, to kind of help you out and guide you through this. Good morning, Margaret.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right, so you heard Dee and you heard her concern. She's really trying to be open-minded about her 9-year-old being a professional wrestler, which I think is fantastic. But the eating part of it really concerns her. So as a holistic health coach, how should she attack this with her daughter?
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to jump into it. I have a couple questions for you, Dee. So first I want to say, I think there is so much positivity in this situation. You are such a great mom. I just want to, you know, just affirm for you that, you know, your concerns are valid, and I understand you have a history here. And so that makes it even, more concerning. But there is so much, you know, the fun that you guys are having from watching the WWE, and then the fact that she's 9 and she's taking a genuine interest in this, and that you are supporting her, but also concerned. So I think the first thing for us to consider is that this, like, 100% overwhelming, all-encompassing interest, it might pass, right? She's nine. It might pass. So, but the best thing we can do is take it seriously and treat her interest, you know, as legitimate and offer the support and investment in her that you are inclined to do. So, Do you mind sharing a little bit about your eating disorder past, what that was like?
Yeah, so mine was a lot different than her. Like, this all is because of a goal, right? So mine was all aesthetic. Hers is not aesthetic at all. She doesn't care. She has shown no, like, thoughts about, like, oh, I need to look like this or whatever. But when I was younger, I was like, I always felt like I was a little bit bigger than all the girls in my eight, you know, my grade when I was like in middle school and stuff like that. And then high school, like, I just always felt bigger. And so once I started figuring out how to lose weight, it became like an obsession. So, like, right before college, I just went off the deep end, like, completely working out all the time, like barely eating anything. I lost like 50 pounds or something. Like, it was not good. But mine was all like the aesthetic thing. Like, once I started getting smaller, I couldn't stop getting smaller. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it definitely does. And I understand. And I think so many people have struggled with that, myself included in my past. So I really understand how challenging that is. So has she exhibited any signs of being restrictive or thinking about this in that way?
Not at all. That is the one positive thing. Like, this is nothing like that. She doesn't even, to me, that doesn't even seem like it's on her radar at all. All she talks about is, like, to get strong and to do this for, you know. So that part, I guess, you know, doesn't concern me as much.
Yeah. And what else is she looking up? You mentioned she's Googling all kinds of things. What else is she searching?
So she wants to know, like, how they train, like, what kind of workouts to do and stuff like that. And so she started doing, like, martial arts because I figure that's really kind of the sort of stepping stone. She can start learning, like, technical things, you know, and how serious, you know, some of this really is. It's not all, you know, fun and TV, you know. So, but she is starting to, like, take the training part seriously. You know, and just trying to figure out how to, you know, train to get where she wants to be.
Yeah. Okay. Well, from my perspective, it sounds like she is approaching this in a very straightforward manner. You know, she's not only targeting the food piece of this. She's not obsessing about the diet or being restrictive. She's taking a genuine interest in all aspects of this topic, right? How do they eat? How do they train? How do I get strong? How do I do this? How do I become really good at this? And that's a really positive approach. And so my perspective would be, you know, can you use this as an opportunity to teach her how to do this in a healthy way? And that might be healing for you both. You know, I know that you have some concerns that she's going to follow in your footsteps and have disordered eating. But I think that this is an opportunity for you to really approach this and say, you know, like, depending upon how honest you feel like you can be with her, I would lean in and trust in the efforts that you've made to model a healthy relationship with food for her.
Hey, Margaret, would you mind? I mean, we're just so restricted by time on this show sometimes, and we could go on for another 15 minutes. Would you mind if we gave Dee your phone number just so she could do a little counseling with you just for a couple of minutes off the air and get a little bit more in depth?
Yeah. And what it sounds like, Margaret, you're telling Dee, like, all, you know, obviously your concerns are valid, but it seems right now your daughter is on the right track. And Margaret's like, while you have these concerns, there doesn't seem to be like anything you really honestly need to do at this moment, except for just continue to be a supportive mom.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, let me link you guys up off the air. And if you have any additional questions for her, I'm sure she can help you out.
Thank you so much.
Margaret, you've been great. Thank you. If you want to check out Margaret Schwenke. You better spell that.
S-C-H-W-E-N-K-E.
Let's get people to your website. We'll connect over. We'll link over to it from our website also, which is thebirdshow.com.
The Bird Show.
The theory of being shipped with somebody is one thing. However, we need details, more in-depth romantic details. And that's why Abby is back with more fan fiction for Rebecca.
Yeah, Rebecca was a little upset that she wasn't shipped with any of the other cast members. And if you are a boomer and don't know what shipped means, because I had to explain this to my mother yesterday, it means basically like you really like the idea of two people getting together. You think that them being a couple would be really, really cute. And no one has shipped Rebecca with anybody on the show yet.
Which would be okay had not all of us been shipped with each other at some point on the show. She's the only one that's been left out.
Yes, Bert and Kristen have been shipped together. Tommy has a crush on Kristen, so you could ship them together. Katie and Mo have been shipped together. I'm shipped with anybody that has a girlfriend. So really, you know, it's a little upsetting that you haven't been shipped with anyone.
Yeah, and I bravely came on and I asked listeners to do what was right. And consider me.
Consider me to be shipped. So I asked people to DM me on Instagram who you think she should be shipped with. And no one could give me just like one person. There wasn't like an overwhelming, you should ship her with this person. Everyone just wanted to see Rebecca in a throuple or like shipped her with like multiple people. So I wrote a fan fiction where we did just that. And now we are continuing the story of Rebecca trying to figure out who the mysterious stranger in the dark was that she ran into while she was here in the early morning hours. They had a moment. And the only thing she could tell, because her character had an ear infection, was that they were wearing one of our Burt Show trucker hats. So will we discover who the capped coworker is in chapter 2? I'm calling Love on Top.
Love on Top. Okay.
Rebecca's tummy was rumbling with nerves the next morning in the back studio. The following encounter with a mysterious stranger had left her bewildered. So far on her list of suspects, there was Burt, Mo, Kaylee, Tommy, and Katie. Could it be Bert? He had mentioned dating some woman named Courtney on the air, but had anyone really seen or met this Courtney? Was she even real? As for Mo, he'd never be caught dead in a Burt Show trucker hat, so he was out. Then there was Tommy, who had always been a friendly face at work. Rebecca shook off the thought. Tommy was married to a literal angel of God, and she decided making enemies with God's right hand was a pretty bad way to start the afterlife, so he was off the table. As her mind drifted to her studio mates, Katie and Kaylee, a sudden noise made her jump. A figure emerged from the darkness, and Rebecca's breath caught in her throat. It was the capped coworker. "Who are you?" she asked, trying to keep her voice steady. The figure stepped closer, and Rebecca could make out a woman's face. Oh. She sighed in bisexual. Thank God her mysterious crush wasn't a man. "You don't recognize me, do you?" the stranger said, her voice dripping with a strange mix of bitterness that didn't sound like the person she had met days before. Rebecca's mind raced. She had seen this face before, but where? Then it hit her. "Elaine?" she whispered.
Twist.
Her voice filled with disbelief. Elaine, the infamous internet troll who had left countless mean comments about the Burt Show, smiled coldly.
Nemesis. Okay.
Surprised to see me? "What are you doing here?" Rebecca demanded, fear creeping into her voice. "I had to see the show for myself. I couldn't stay away." Elaine admitted.
Let Elaine represent all Burt Show trolls. Go ahead.
Her eyes gleaming with a wild light. "I've been obsessed with it for so long." Rebecca put her platform Crocs into sport mode. She needed to get out of there. "Help!" she cried out. As if on cue, because it was, Katie and Kaylee burst into the room, their faces set with worry for Rebecca. "Rebecca, are you okay?" Katie shouted, sweeping her into an embrace. "Oh. I'm so happy to see you. I could kiss you," Rebecca said as Katie pulled back to look into her eyes. Guys, a little help here," Kaylee said.
That's Katie's voice.
No, Kaylee.
That's Kaylee.
Kaylee said as he grabbed Elaine's wrists, tying them back with sunglasses straps that said "Make America Tattooed Again." Katie and Rebecca shook themselves from the moment, but didn't stop holding each other.
Why do you keep coming here? What do you want? Katie asked. Elaine's expression shifted from smug to confused. Wait, what? This is my first time in the building, I swear. Why should we believe you? Kaylee asked, pressing his 50-millimeter bullet fountain pen into her side. I wouldn't even know how to get in. I followed someone else into the studio. The three exchanged puzzled glances. If Elaine wasn't the mysterious stranger from last week, then who was? Just then, Kristen walked into the studio, what? Looking bewildered and also donning a show trucker hat. What are you all doing here so early? Rebecca, Katie, and Kaylee turned to her, distracting them just enough for Elaine to reach into her back pocket. Kristen let out a blood-curdling scream and shoved Rebecca out of the way, landing on top of her graphic tee that said, "Wussy" in big white letters. Across the room, Kaylee pulled out his Swiss Army knife and put it to Elaine's throat.
Jesus.
No, go for it.
That's escalated quickly.
Finish her! My seat.
Finish her!
Stop!
Fatality.
I literally grabbed my face.
Not on my watch, he said, pulling her hand off his actual watch. Suddenly, the studio was plunged into darkness once more. Kristen ran a protective hand down Rebecca's side as her heart pounded, and a shiver ran down her spine. Was it from fear, or was it the concerned look in Kristen's eyes that had her tingling all over? Oh. As the darkness and soft warmth of Kristen's bosom closed in on her, Rebecca knew that if she wanted to survive, she'd have to untangle her heart as swiftly as she did her path out of the studio. End scene.
Wow. So many twists and turns.
Yes, the drama, the fear, the excitement.
The bosoms. The bosoms.
Hey, Kristen Cole for Jesus.
The Burt Show.
I think a lot of men take a lot of pride in being the provider of the family, right? Maybe there's some power in that also. If you're the one bringing in more money, maybe it plays to a dude's ego. But for most guys, that's a safe place right there, to be the one making the money, right? So when it's challenged and you get into a relationship where a woman is making more than you, some guys feel like it's emasculating, right? So we get this email from a Burt Show listener that is wondering when she should break this news to her boyfriend that she's probably making way more than dude is making.
I think you're going to be surprised by the email because I read it ahead and it's not what you think it is.
Okay. Mm. All right. So is that what we do in radio?
I mean, I'd like to.
Something new. Read the emails before we're on the air. See, that's why you're sitting on these convention panels now.
You know what?
Cutting edge idea.
And just give me that Marconi now, baby.
Dear Burt Show, help me settle a debate, which turned into an argument with my friends. My friends know that I make pretty good money. However, they can't understand why my boyfriend, who I live with, pays a larger share of our bills, okay? Well, when he convinced me to move in with him, he told me that since he made more, he would pay more for everything. Well, now I do earn more than he does, but that is because I have a second job. It was my hobby and has become pretty profitable. As far as he knows, it's just a hobby, nothing more. He wasn't the least bit supportive of the idea of me turning it. into a business and thought I was being ridiculous. So I just kind of started doing it behind his back. It's not easy. Takes quite a bit of work on top of my regular 9-to-5. So I feel that if he wasn't supportive of me doing this in the first place and didn't think it would make any money, I see no reason why he should benefit from it. Am I wrong? Okay, that is different than what I thought it was going to be. Anybody want in on this early? 1-855-BIRCHO.
Yeah, she's essentially hiding income from her boyfriend. Now, I can't say I don't blame her because he was dismissive of what she wanted to do and didn't give her the proper support. And if you're in a loving relationship, like you're going to be honest, but you're going to be supportive. Like, you know, my husband has no problem like sharing concerns. Like he troubleshoots everything. to a fault. And I'm like, can't we just have fun? So he troubleshoots everything, but that's very much the logical side of his brain. And he wants to make sure he covers all bases and thinks of anything that could go wrong. So I, you know, if that was the case, sure. But then if this is something you're very passionate about and your heart's in it, then the person that you are with who loves you should want to support you. So I don't blame her for hiding this income. At the same time, you have all this extra income and your boyfriend is still paying the same amount and supporting you. It feels like, and I know, Mo, you say this all the time, even though we are the show that are like, two wrongs do make right.
Two wrongs make good ratings is what we mean.
There you go. Preach. I do feel like two wrongs don't make a right here. And it's not that you're going to shove it in his face, but I think you are forthcoming. If you're going to see longevity in this relationship, then I think you call him out and be like, it would have been really nice for you to have been more supportive. I am making XYZ now, and I think it's only fair that we split the bills evenly.
Sorry, Mo. Go ahead.
I agree. I think I get the pettiness in it. I do, because he didn't support you. I completely get feeling like I don't owe you anything for that reason. But like Kristen said, if you're going to be in a supportive and loving relationship, I don't think that's the way to go about it. I would probably rub it in his face and remind him that you didn't believe in me and look what it's become. But because he was willing to go the extra mile to support you when he had it, I think it's only right that you return that now that you do.
I love when you guys call in early. Hey, Stephanie, thanks for taking the time and calling in.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Okay, where are you standing on this?
All right, so I have a side hustle. I do artwork on the side. I do portraits, and I'm just a local artist out of where I live. And my husband knows about it, and he doesn't make it a point to, like, include it into our, like, household income. Like, he's totally supportive of me doing it as a hobby. He's supportive of it being a full-time job. So I think she should just sit on it. I think you make that money, sit on it.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you guys this. Does it change the texture of the conversation if this was an OnlyFans page that he morally had an issue with?
Ooh. Yeah, it does.
It does.
Yeah, for sure. If it's something like, I feel like that's a completely different conversation.
Okay.
And I was going to ask, does it change the conversation if he was the one that had a side hustle? Like, if you put yourself in his shoes, like, would you want to know if there was all this additional income coming in? And like, it's not that they're just boyfriend, girlfriend. I know they're not married. So like finances haven't intertwined, but you are cohabitating together. You're mm-hmm. living together and you're sharing bills. So there has to be some disclosure of finances. I don't think hiding things from each other is healthy.
I say keep your money secret. I think you need to build up a fund. Somebody like that who doesn't support your hobbies, I think you got to be careful around. Now you know him better. What I would do, though, is insist on paying half. I would say, this is not fair for you to carry me, knowing I'm making the money, and I would insist on paying half, and then I could feel morally good about he and I splitting the bills, and I've got my own fund in the back that if we get married, then he can know about.
I would respect that a lot if she did that. Just came straight up and said, I'm paying my way now. Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome.
Here, Bird Show.